So I read the scripture several weeks ago. I envisioned a conversation between a parent and a child. Maybe because I might have had a few of these, but you may have as well. This going back and forth on an issue that they are discussing. The parent is asking or telling the child what to do. Maybe something like clean your room or take out the trash. I haven't told Jackson to take out the trash yet. All right. Don't go all crazy for that. He can't carry the trash bag. He's not tall enough. If he was taller, he would be taking out the trash. All right. Those kinds of conversations and the child may be occupied with something else responds, but mom, but dad, or whoever, grandma, and they continue until the adult in the conversation responds, no buts. You're going to do it. Do it now. Right? But I'm doing this, but I'm doing that, but I want to do this instead. No buts. So I imagine this is the way this is unfolding in this gospel reading today. And when we have that conversation as parents, as children, we're really trying to change an attitude or a behavior that is being displayed. And we need those sometimes, whether we like it or not. We need those attitude adjustments. We need those behavior adjustments, even as adults. And we need reminders at times that when we are being a little stubborn in our lives, we need that reminder, no buts. All right? When we're reading these texts from the Bible, we need these in our faith journey. And that's what we find here in the Sermon on the Plain. In Luke chapter 6, it begins with a conversation about healing on the Sabbath. Then Luke moves into the calling of the 12. And then we have this healing of the great multitude where people are just trying to touch Jesus. They're just trying to get a touch. And Luke says, and power was leaving from him. And we get the beatitudes of blessings and woes. And it transitions into our text today. Which is something that is challenging, particularly in our culture today. You see, in our culture, we praise things like is mentioned in the woes. We highlight these as signs of success, as signs of making it in the world. And yet, according to Jesus, all of these things will not bring to a person what he says is the blessings. And so he's given this hard word about woes and blessings. And then he says, and for those that are willing to hear, because I don't know too many people after hearing the woes are going to be willing to hear much more. Right? Because that's going to be challenging enough in itself. You know, you already got the blood boiling a little bit with those woes. If you really think about it, in our culture today. And he says, for those willing to hear, he begins preaching, as Bishop Will Willimon says, with specific, very specific directive for human behavior here and now. That's what we see in Luke 6:27. Very specific behavior for the here and now. He says to those willing to hear, not to some select inner circle, but to those willing to hear, those that are sticking with him even after hearing those woes, love your enemy. But Jesus, no buts. Love your enemy. To do that is, as our world sees it, it means to show weakness. It means to wave the proverbial white flag. It means to give up, defeat. It means to be taken advantage of, to love our enemy. But that's hard. I don't want to do that. No buts. Love your enemy. And the text says, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. Jesus in this text is putting forth a very different way of living than that of what our world says. And encourages. Jesus is describing a very challenging way to live our lives. in a world that is so divided over so many issues. And in the first half of this passage, he truly highlights the ugly nature of our world. And we can actually see that enters into the life of the church, and it plays out into the life of the church day in and day out. I think we need to pause here at the first half of this passage and reflect for a moment on what Jesus is getting at. You might say, "Preacher, I know what Jesus is getting at. Enough, my toes are being crushed as it is." Yes, I know mine are too. Because the reality is we are all on the struggle bus when it comes to loving our neighbor, or loving our enemies. Excuse me. Even loving our neighbor at times. Maybe that was a mistake. Holy Spirit there. Right? It's hard. I don't like the way they think. I don't like the way they dress, the way they act, the way they do things. They say mean things. Jesus is talking about love. He's talking about agape love. It's not a romantic type of love. It's a love that, as David Ewart describes, a wholehearted, unreserved, unconditional desire for the well-being of the other, expecting nothing in return. That's the kind of love we're talking about here. It's not a love that we're hoping to get something back from. It's just a love that we give because that's what we're supposed to do. Because that's what God does for us. And to consider loving our enemies this way is not to think of we don't need to think of enemies as foreign enemies or anything like that. It's maybe someone we don't agree with. It may be someone who's on the other side of the spectrum of what we think, feel, and believe. And James Howe even goes into saying perhaps our enemies are within the church, sitting on the pews with us. Brings a little closer to home. And to consider what kind of life this is for us as Christians is to realize that we are to do no harm. It's one of Wesley's three simple rules. To consider what it means to love our enemies is to simply remember that we as Christians are to do no harm to anyone. It means that we do not retaliate. It means we do not harm one another by our words, our actions, by policies and practice. And it's impossible, no matter what news source you watch, to see the harm we are doing in the world and to one another. And Jesus is calling us to a completely different way of living in the world. To a way that we live in the world, but we're not of it. In the world, but not of it. In verse 35, spells out this different way of living. Do good. Lend expecting nothing in return. Doing this and you'll have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act, for He is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And some translations say, be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. And Jesus is pointing out the way that God acts to us. He's telling us to love our enemies because to do these things because that is exactly the way that God acts to us. God acts to us in kindness and compassion. Bishop Willimon writes that we ought to act this way in the world because the world is supposed to be this way. The world was not created for enmity and cruelty. The world was created by a God who is kind and compassionate. And so to understand how we are to love our enemies or what that means is for us to first understand how God is compassionate and loving to us and then live like that in the world. To live like that in our everyday life. In our workplaces, in our homes, in our church, in our community. And this is a hard word for us because this is not the ways of the world. And if we're believers of Jesus Christ, again, we are not of the world. To pray, "Thy kingdom come," is to live out God's kingdom in the brokenness of this world. Bishop Willimon again writes, "I want you to think of the most loving thing you could do for the very worst people you know. Think of a real scoundrel," he says. Now think of someone who has been a terrible scoundrel to you. Now picture yourself offering that person your loving hand. He says, see what I mean? When you think like that, it really restores the oddness, indeed even the absurdity of what Jesus is commending in his sermon. Oftentimes we develop enemies with people we do not agree with or we see eye to eye with. We think all is well, all is good, and yet deep down inside, the disagreement causes us much grief, hurt, and pain. And all this leads to the divisions that we're seeing and experiencing, not just in the church, but in our world. And to love our enemies is to show kindness and compassion even in the midst of those differences. It's not merely a list of rules that we're getting here. It's not merely a list of do's and don'ts that we're getting, that we're to follow, but it's a sketch. It's a vision of God. Jesus is pointing in this passage to who God is and what God is up to in our world. The way that we love our enemies is to be compassionate, just as our Father is compassionate. We're commanded as followers of Jesus to live this way in the world. Not just within these walls. Right? But it's to take it from in these walls and take it out to the world. See, if we're not compassionate, merciful in our actions, our words, our thoughts, if we're not living the way that God is commanding and has responded to us, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. And the gospel is not going to be heard in the world. We use harsh words, hateful speech, negative tactics, and boast. We're doing harm and not good. We are ourselves evil and thus enemies of God, and we are not in line with the way that God moves and acts. But the good news is that the God who created the world is not vengeful, but instead loving and forgiving, showing us throughout the Bible the grace and forgiveness that God has for us. Jesus said, for those willing to hear, at the beginning of this passage, are we as the church today, some 2,000 years removed from this, willing to hear this hard word? But not just willing to hear, are we willing to take it and make it a part of our everyday life, to go and love our enemies? To go and do good to those who don't do good to us, to lend expecting nothing in return. One writer says that if we're to convince the world of the reality of the gospel, we must live the way of love every day in all parts of our lives. That requires us to see all the people with their differences and their passions. The way of love, the gospel is at the heart of our mission in the world. If we are to act the way of children of God act, love is at the center. As we consider the words of Jesus, I invite us into a time of self-reflection and prayer. And we pray a prayer that Bishop Willimon wrote in his notes for this particular passage today. And as I'm praying this, I want you just to pray it to yourself. I want you to consider what it is in your life, what it looks like in your life to love your enemy. Let's pray. Jesus, sometimes when you speak of what you expect from us, it seems that you are raising the bar too high. You command us to love our enemies, to turn the other cheek, to give to the needs of others without expecting in return. Well, Lord, who is able? Are you serious, Lord? Do you really think that ordinary people like us can meet such high standards of righteousness? Forgive us, Lord, when we dismiss your demands as impossible expectations. Forgive us when we set our own bar too low, when we let ourselves off the hook too easily. Forgive us when we forget how much you love us, how much you believe in us, and how much you have done for us. Forgive us when we fail to remember that you are not only demanding, but also forgiving. Amen.